Now, you mentioned music. Do you think that what is usually called rock music, or what we would call perhaps modern music, has a destructive impact?
Definitely. Rock music is a very general term, and it covers a variety, of kinds of music. So, you know, rock music is not all of just one kind, it's a great variety. Nevertheless, what characterizes rock especially is the rhythm, the pulsating, monotonous, driving rhythm. It's not an interesting rhythm, it's just a pulsating rhythm. And this rhythm speaks to the animal in a human being. It doesn't speak to his mind. What speaks to the mind is melody. What speaks to the heart is harmony, and what speaks to the animal is rather the rhythm. So music which overemphasizes rhythm at the expense of the harmony, at the expense of the melody, which gives to rhythm the prominence, is giving to the animal in human being the prominence. Man is an animal, but he's not only an animal, he's a rational animal. But rock addresses primarily the animal, encourages the animal, brings out the animal, and the animal urges and destruction amongst them. Destruction, violence uncontrolled by reason, unguided by reason.
So music is a very strong tool, and it can be used, let's say, to elevate the soul, as in the case of Gregorian chant, or it can unleash these animal passions.
Yes. Music is a very powerful language of the soul. It, as you say, it can go from the highest to the lowest, and it can have either a very, it can have, for instance, a very soothing effect, or it can have a violent effect. It can have a morally good effect, and it can have a very morally bad effect. There are certain kinds of music that Plato would have banned in his Republic, Aristotle the same, and the old Chinese proverb says, when the mode of the music changes, the walls of the city shake. And that's certainly what happened with rock music. As rock music came in the 1960s, there was a complete upheaval in life in the whole of the world in the 1960s.
Like an increase in sexual promiscuity.
Absolutely, and a lot of other things. With a lot of morality, a tremendous breakdown of morality, a breakdown of the old order. You may say the old order had to go. Well, whatever you say about it, the 1960s has a huge issue. And music played a huge part in that revolution of the 1960s. And the mode of the music changed as rock music became universal in the 1960s, and the walls of the city shook. The walls of the city were shaken down, and the city's been rebuilt differently ever since.
Have revolutionaries used music again and again and again?
I think you could say so, yes. Luther certainly used music. He wrote hymns, and he wrote the words of hymns. He may even have written the music of hymns, I'm not sure. But he used hymns. The Catholic Church, of course, uses music, but not for revolution purposes, for godly purposes. The revolutionaries and the Catholics know the power of music, and the Church uses music for good, and the revolutionaries use music for revolution.
That's when the churchmen are seen, because there was a revolution in church music too after Vatican II.
Yes, the music became not necessarily violent, but it definitely became sugary and sticky and sentimental. And it's a degraded music because of that. Music of much less value, of not great musical value.
Now the churchmen, that is the liberal churchmen, were hoping by modernizing the music that they would bring more young people into the churches. Has this strategy succeeded, do you think?
No. And the reason is, again, because if you try to reconcile godliness to godlessness, you're trying to mix oil and water. Rock music is the human animal in its godless, basically godless. It's intrinsically godless. The Catholic Church is godly. You can't use rock music to put over a message of God. It's not possible. Because rock music speaks to the animal, and the animal is not the part of the human being that responds to God. The animal will be it needs to be integrated with the reason and with the highest. The lowest part of man needs to be integrated with the highest in order to be led to God. And then the lowest part of man will be harmonized, will be tranquilized, will be ordered, brought to order under reason in order to go to God. The animal is not necessarily bad, but the animal must be subordinate to reason. Music which unleashes the animal without subordinating reason is incompatible with the purposes of God. And therefore, if the liberals bring in rock music into church, what it's going to do is make the children go to, the youngsters will go to the local discotheque where they will hear the rock music genuinely at full blast instead of at half blast, pretending to order it and make it lead to God. They will, if they get a taste, if they're given in the church a taste for anything like rock music, they will go to where the rock music is full blast and genuine, and they will leave the church. And the liberals should see this, but they're dumb, so they don't see it. They don't understand the way music works. They don't understand the way that a godless culture works. You can't make a godless culture serve God. It's not possible. You've got to change the culture in order to let it serve God.
And isn't much of the modern music, rock music, whatever you want to call it, sometimes openly satanic?
Yes, it is. And again, that's logical. The animal human being, uncontrolled by reason, again, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters. And if human beings want to get into music, leaving God and reason and beauty and harmony and order, leaving all of that to one side, just unleashing the animal, it's bound to call in Satan, and Satan will come in sooner or later. And of course he is present in a great deal of the rock musicians, yesterday at least. I don't know about the rock musicians today. Most likely he's there as well. He's there, still there today. But it's notorious how much there has been of him in the leading rock musicians of the last, let's say, 40 years.
And so you see, in area after area, how, let's say, civilization itself, in a way it could be said, is unraveling. If, like another way you could describe some of this music, if it does appeal, let's say, to the animal instincts, like this is another step towards barbarism.
Yes. The youngsters are being turned into barbarians, and the music plays a large part in this. They're not being taught the values of civilization. They're not being taught what civilization is about. Basically, civilization is about our Lord Jesus Christ and going to heaven. And if civilization is no longer about that, if civilization is only about swimming pools and balance of payments and whatever, then rock music corresponds to that. The swimming pools are for the animal, mainly. Rock music is for the animal. The two go together, so to speak. And God will be left out of the picture. And barbarism will come back. Only it's post-Christian barbarism is going to be worse than pre-Christian barbarism.
In other words, like these post-Christian barbarians will be worse, let's say, than the Vikings.
Yes, yes, that's already happening. I think so. Unless there's still something of the Christian influence at work. Because the Vikings still had common sense. They didn't send their women into battle, for instance. The men fought and the women stayed at home and had children, looked after the children. The Vikings had a lot of common sense. They may have been savages in some ways, but we were saying the common sense is being washed up. People are deliberately washing their own common sense out today. They're getting rid of it. They don't want it. Common sense is an infringement upon their liberty. They want liberty. And so they're going to get rid of their common sense.
So in other words, let's say sometimes at rock concerts you see outright destructive behavior. Could this kind of be in a way that these young people are sensing that this modern civilization is empty and they're reacting against it, and they're just destroying what's left then?
That's definitely part of it. it's interesting to read the words of rock music, to see what the singers are actually singing, to see the words that they are singing. There's often a message, and it's a message very often of protest. The rock musicians are crying out, and nobody's listening. And they're crying out in protest against the whole materialistic way of life, but it's not as though they are genuinely seeking for something better. They're making a lot of money, and they're making themselves famous by their protests. So they're quite happy to stay protesting. So, you know, you can't credit them with a real search for something better. Perhaps some of them do get to something better. But a lot of them stay right where they are because it's a very comfortable and famous way of living. But what they're saying is nevertheless very interesting. It's quite a coherent attack upon the materialistic way of life, materialistic modern society.